In a chaotic world, how many need peace in a chaotic world like the world we live in today, right? Man, God knows I need peace in this world because, shoot, when you're my age and you're growing up and people are trying to throw different ideologies at you and you should be like this and you should be like that, and you're kind of like, I don't like either one, but they're saying you got to choose. And I'm like, no, I think I like what God says better. And it's just that peace that God gives us. And so this morning, last week, Pastor Lawrence, he preached on mercy. But this week, I want to preach to you from the subject, peace in the pain. Amen. And so I'm going to go to my first verse. The main verse we're gonna be in this morning is Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. So, Stephen, if you can put that on the screen, please. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. All right, there it is. Cool. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Amen. So, when one thing my professor always taught me in Bible college is when the Bible repeats itself, it says, pay attention to this. Just like you parents, when you tell your kids, pay attention. Pay attention. When I hear my mom repeat herself, I better pay attention, and you know that. And here God says, I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Father, I just thank you for this day, Lord God, another day that you have given us, Father, another day of life. And Lord, I thank you for each person here this morning, God, that you, Father, have ordained this moment, Father, for them to be here, that you, God, have set aside this time, Lord, to speak to us and to speak to each person here, Father. So I pray that you meet every person where they're at this morning, God, whether they are close to you, whether they feel distant, Father, whether they've known you for just a short time, whether they don't even know you, God, or whether they've known you for a long time, Father. I pray, Lord, that you just meet us where we're at, God, and you continue to feed our soul, God, and nourish our body, Lord. Lord God, be our everything, Lord, and be the God that we need here this morning in this world. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Me, when I heard this verse for the first time, I can't even remember, quite honestly. I grew up in church. A little bit about me, those of you who don't know me. I grew up in church. My mom married my stepdad and everything. My mom grew up in church, and so did my stepdad. He was a pastor's kid, and they met at Bible college, so it doesn't get more Christian than that, you know? it's that kind of story, and I grew up in church, and I grew up hearing this verse quite often, but I never really understood what it means to rejoice in the Lord always. And as I began to go throughout high school and college, and I would hear this verse even more and more. All right, rejoice in the Lord always. All right, yeah, that sounds great. And so then, you're going through stuff, and you grew up in college, and everyone knows who your family is and knows where you come from and everything. At least that was my story. And they would ask you, how you doing, Christian? I'd be blessed. I'm blessed. Because I knew I grew up hearing it all the time, so I knew how to put on the front and everything. I was going through this, and I was struggling with this temptation over here, and I was struggling with that, and I was kind of like looking at people this way, kind of like, yeah, I'm better than you. I grew up in church, whatever. And so and so there I am, people like, how you doing? But inside I knew there wasn't something right. And they'd ask me, how are you, Christian? Blessed, highly favored, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. You had all those things already in your head, and it was just like, all right, I can pull out those verses like nothing. But really, when I'm completely honest, I didn't know what it meant to rejoice in the Lord. And you see, when Paul uses the word rejoice, and I like the NLT version as well, the New Living Translation, it says, instead of saying rejoice, he says, may you be full of joy. And what that really means to me is, when you're so full of joy that you can't contain it anymore, that it begins to overflow. And I don't know about you, but when I'm about to speak and everything, I kind of overthink. I'm an overthinker, so I gotta like look at it from multiple angles and stuff like that. And I just study words and I study definitions and everything. That's just me. I try to do more research than I have to. But I looked up rejoice in the dictionary, in Webster's dictionary, and it says, to give joy to gladden, to feel joy or great delight. And I was, all right, well, this has rejoice, obviously has joy in the word, you got to look that up too. So I looked up joy, and it said, the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires or delight. The expression The expression of such emotion, also gaiety. I heard a preacher preach on joy one time, and I think I agree with him when he said, I don't like that definition, because that definition just puts it all on emotion. It says joy is more of a feeling. But when I look in the Bible and I see people who speak about joy and who say have joy in the Lord and they rejoice in God, it's not based off of their emotion. It's not based off of their circumstance. When I see it, joy has such more of a deeper meaning than just simply what's going on in my life right now, what I feel right here in this moment. And so if we get too caught up in that idea of joy, in that definition of joy, then Stephen's going to play a video for you real quick. If we get too caught up, our joy can end up looking like this.
No!
See this poor little kid over here, man. He thinks he's gonna have a lot of fun, but nope. I bet there's going to be a bunch of you at the Super Bowl game tonight. This is awesome. This is, no. Oh, man. I know that's me. My team's the Steelers, and that was me this entire season. Was just, oh, dear God, help us, Lord. All right, this is good. We're doing good. Oh, never mind. Okay, they're getting together. Oh, all right, I'm just going to stop watching. And I did. I just stopped halfway through the season. I'm done. Season's done. It's over. But if we're not careful, that ends up being what our view of joy is, just this up and down. One moment you're good, and one moment you're totally freaking out. One moment you're going through this, and the next you're going through that. And I don't know about you, but my God gives joy. He gives true joy. And that's not the joy. That's not the joy I'm talking about. Sometimes we get joy mixed up with happiness if we're not careful. But the Bible says joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is God-given. And God wants us to be so full of that fruit of the Spirit that it overflows in us and it causes you to rejoice in the Lord. But so many today settle for happiness. And the only problem is happiness is just an emotion. And it changes just like that, very quickly. And so let's be honest. If you're like me and you're an emotional person, your emotions just go like that little kid over there in that video. They just go up and down, up and down. One moment I'll wake up and, oh, I was going to have a good day and everything. And the next I get that text message saying, you're coming early for work, right? And I don't get to eat my bagel or my pancakes. And I have a bad day all of a sudden. One moment, you know, you're like, all right, I'm going to eat this food at the restaurant and everything. And They get your order wrong, and some of you are just nasty when they get your order wrong. First it's, oh, thank you, when they take your order, and then the next it's, mm-hmm, okay, yeah. I wanted this well done, not medium rare. It's still pink inside. Oh, man, don't get me started on that. You can just give me the burger pink and just barely sear it, and I'll eat it. I don't want a burger jerky. I want a real burger. And some of you just get so nasty when your food order is wrong. I'm so glad my mom's not here, because my mom's one of those people. I'm like, oh, Lord. She's ready to get you fired right on the spot. And I'm like, Mom, come on. But our happiness can switch so quickly if we're honest. But God wants to give you something more solid than that. He wants to give you a joy that won't change. Because emotions are external, but the joy that God gives you is internal. It's a joy that he puts inside of you. And so I got three things that I just briefly want to speak to you this morning about. Rejoicing in the Lord is a result of three things. Number one, it's having peace with God through Jesus Christ. So my question to you this morning is, do you know Jesus? Some of you may be visitors, or some of you may be going to church, and you haven't given your life to the Lord. But I want you to know that salvation is the number one thing. It's a free gift from God. If you don't have salvation, then you don't have peace with God. If you don't have peace with God, then how could you ever have joy of the Lord and rejoice in God? See, what that looks like to me is when I gave my life to God and I got sick and tired of just going through the motions, and I got sick and tired of just, of really just being sick and tired. And I decided, Lord, I'm yours. And I trust you with my life. So that's what it looks like. When you say, God, I'm yours, and I'm sorry for all that I've done, and God is faithful to forgive you. And he looks at you from another way. Instead of seeing all your junk, he has Christ right over you. It's like Christ is that new lens, and there's all your junk. But when God looks through you, through the lens of Christ, he sees a righteous son, a righteous daughter, and you become his child. And some of you need to hear that this morning, because you feel like you're so distant from God, that how could God ever love me? How could I ever rejoice? How could I ever have joy of the Lord? I don't deserve it. But I want to let you know this morning that God wants you, and that God's always there. He's always been there in your life. Just the fact that you're here this morning shows God's faithfulness and love towards you. God's been looking for you the whole way. It's the main reason why Jesus came into the world. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." And so, Stephen, if you can go up to Philippians chapter 1, verse 2, even Paul recognized this. See, Paul's the one who writes Philippians, and he's writing to the church in Philippi. It's when the church was just first starting, just being established. And Paul, he's writing to the church, and he's writing this letter to them from prison. But even right in the very beginning of his letter, he says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." You can't have peace with God without Jesus. Peace in Jesus is always connected whenever we are looking for that godly joy in our life. So I think Paul reminds the church in Philippi where their peace was coming from, because they were going through a lot at the time. you think you've ever had church drama? They had church drama. They were going through possible division in their church, and they were going through possible false ideology in their church. And not only was things happening in their church, but outside their church, the government was against them. The Roman Empire was persecuting them. That's why Paul was in prison in the first place. And yet Paul has the nerve. Paul has the nerve to tell them, "Rejoice in everything." And sometimes it's the same with us. Rejoicing always, you may think, yeah, right. You know, yeah, right, says the person who doesn't even know how they're going to pay the bills this month. Yeah, right, says the person who's the parents of a child who's not behaving right. Yeah, right, says the person who feels abandoned by their parents. Or maybe they went through a breakup. We go through so many things sometimes, and it's just like, rejoice always? Oh, yeah, sure, God, sure. You know, that's a good idea. I'll try that someday when everything's going right. And at times we ask God, "Don't you even care, Lord?" I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've been there. Going through it at that time, and you're just like, "God, where are you? Do you even care about me, Lord? Am I even called, Lord? Am I even who you want me to be? Am I even seen by you, God?" We ask, does God even care? Well, if you're asking that this morning, then you're in good company. Because there's a character in the Bible, his name is Joseph. He's one of the heroes of the Old Testament. He's the grandson of Father Abraham. And even Joseph asked the same question. You see, Joseph kind of grew up similar. He was, I guess in today's modern view, he'd be a church kid too. He was his dad's favorite. His dad had many sons, but he was his dad's favorite. And dad gave him all these gifts. Dad gave him the coat of many colors. And he said, "Son, you're going to be a ruler. You're going to influence men. And you're going to be this great person." And all his brothers got so jealous of him. And Joseph didn't do anything wrong. All he did was just be dad's favorite. He's like, "Yeah, look at me, guys. What's up?" Whenever they were like at the dinner table, I bet he walked up and he's like picking food off their plates. And he's like, "Yep." And dad would let him. So he was kind of the spoiled brat, so I kind of get the older brothers. But they were so jealous of him. Had their jealous been just a notch higher, they probably would have killed him. But instead, they ganged up on him and they threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery. And yet Joseph still had the joy of the Lord. Even before Jesus ever came into the picture, Joseph knew God and he kept the joy of the Lord. See, some of us function in happiness. Some of us go to church and we claim to know God and we claim to be children of God and to know Jesus Christ and be born again and all of this great stuff, yet we function on the same happiness as the world around us. And God began to just convict me of that. Like, how can you be my child, be my son, say I claim you, and yet you're just as happy as everybody else around you? Really? And we claim to know Jesus. See, this morning, becoming saved and becoming a child of God is just one thing. That's having peace with God. But number two is placing our focus on Jesus Christ. In the 20th century world, we focus on so much things. My generation, on pleasure and on instant gratification and on our comfort zone and everything. And everything's about me. Everything's about me. Look at me. Give me this. What can you give me? Even our relationships with one another is, what can you give me before what can I ever give you? In fact, I don't even want to give you anything. And so that's why so many people, they go to external means. They go to things like drugs and alcohol and relationships and everything else, just trying to feed that spirit that they have in their hearts, that empty spirit. And how about you? But I was there. I used to be there. And I used to just go to all these people and I used to try out all these things. And I have some friends from college here. I hope they don't tell you none of my stories. I'm just kidding. You can ask Tim. He'll tell you everything. He'll go ahead. But that used to be me. Always in the moment. Wanted comfort 24/7. And I like the way the Bible puts it, where Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. And he tells the Samaritan woman at the well, he tells her, he's asking her for a drink of water. But in reality, he's really telling her, you know, whoever drinks this water will be thirsty again. But the water that I give, you will never thirst ever again. Sometimes we become so thirsty in our spirit that we try to fill it with other things, and we just become so thirsty in our hearts that we go to external means and we go to this and we go to that. And I don't know about you, but I've been thirsty in my spirit before. And I know many of you have come here this morning and you're thirsty in your spirit. Not just the Urban Dictionary thirsty, but the real thirsty in your spirit. See, John 15:4 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. It's what Jesus tells, practically what he tells the Samaritan woman. I have what you need. I am everything that you need. And that's what Jesus told me when he began to just work in my heart and in my spirit. I was saved. I received the Lord as my personal Savior. I said the prayer and everything, but yeah, I was still functioning on the same happiness level as everybody else, and it was pretty low. And so here I was, just the child of God and everything, and trying to go to school, trying to go to Bible college. But here I was still going after the things that the world was offering, still falling into the same trap, still finding myself struggling in the same sin, still finding myself struggling with the same thoughts and thinking the same way about people and going to the same people for advice and for gratification. I want to tell you this morning, we need to focus not on ourselves, not on our problems, and redirect it to Jesus. Rejoicing in the Lord really isn't a choice. It's a position. Or it's a position of your heart. It's a heart posture. See, Hebrews 1:3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Colossians 1:17, he says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know about you, but when I hear things like that, that uplifts me in my spirit, because I know that my joy isn't based on just temporary things, on the things that I'm wanting right now, on the thirstiness of my spirit, but my joy is based on a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is my foundation. When I take my focus off of what I've done and what I'm struggling with right now, and I place it on Jesus, and I say, no matter what, Jesus, I'm going to serve you. What does that look like to me this morning? That looks like just two basic things, really. It's me saying, God, I'm yours, and I trust you. God, I don't know how I'm going to, it used to be, God, I don't know how I'm going to pass this class. I like sleeping in. I like going to Dutch Bros late at night. I like staying up and playing video games all night with Tim. But God, I'm yours, and I trust you. God, I don't know how I'm going to discipline myself to get this homework done, but God, I'm yours, and I trust you. And it turned into, God, I'm not sure how I'm going to get past this addiction. Lord, I'm not sure how I'm going to stop looking at this and start believing in you. God, I don't know how I'm going to stop smoking, Lord, and stop doing this and doing that, but God, I'm yours, and I trust you. And then it turns into, oh, God, I'm called to ministry. No. And God's saying, what are you going to do? Oh, God, I'm yours, and I trust you. And then Pastor Dale offers me a position, and I don't know, God, I don't know, but God, I'm yours, and I trust you. And some of you this morning, that's what you need to hear, is because you don't know, God, I know you've called me. I know you have a plan and purpose for my life, God. I know I'm saved, Lord God. And God's telling you this morning, remember that you're mine, and you can trust me. So some of you need to go throughout this week saying that to yourself, God, I'm yours, and I trust you. When your team is losing this afternoon, God, I'm yours, and I trust you. And so that's what Joseph did. He kept his focus on God. Even in prison, he became the model prisoner, working hard in prison, obedient in prison, influencing the other prisoners, befriended them. He had this special gift given by God to interpret dreams, and he was doing that for the other prisoners. But for one, he had a very bad interpretation. He said, sorry, man, you're going to die soon. The other guy, he said, all right, you're going to be set free, and you're going to go work in Pharaoh's house again. See, Joseph had his focused heart on God. And that helped him out, because even when he thought that all was lost, see, Joseph went through a lot in prison. He was in there for 2 years for no reason. It wasn't his fault. He got thrown in prison. His boss, his wife started having eyes for Joseph, and she tried, you know, to pull the move and everything. And today she would have gotten his DMs and stuff like that. Hey, what's up? Can I come over and watch? Never mind. Anyways. And she goes after him, and Joseph, he was a man after God, and he said, no, God, I'm yours, and I trust you, and he ran. And she got hurt by that, because she thought she was all that, and she went crying to her husband. Got him thrown in jail, said he was trying to rape her, and Joseph's like, what? You ain't even all that. But he got thrown in prison, and it wasn't his fault. He did what's right. And here he is in prison, the model prisoner, and the dreams that he had interpreted came true. You know, that one guy, you know, he must have been a bitter man if God allowed him to get executed, but he did. But the other guy, he got freed, and he got put back into Pharaoh's household, and he was serving him. But that guy forgot about him. He forgot all about him, and everyone forgot about Joseph for 2 years. And for, I don't know about you, but if I was in prison for 2 years, I was in college for 5 years. That kind of felt like prison sometimes, but that was not nothing close. But he was in prison for 2 years. Plenty of time to say, God, is this what I get for serving you? Oh, this must be how God treats his children. Yeah, God, I thought I was called by you, but I guess not, if this is where I'm at. And so many of us, we get like that, too based on feelings, too based on circumstance, and our emotions allow our joy to just fall apart. But not Joseph. You see, Joseph kept his eyes focused on God. He kept his heart posture on God. And sure enough, after 2 years In just an instant, Pharaoh began to have dreams. I don't think it was a coincidence that Pharaoh started having dreams. That was a God, that was a God-given dream right there. See, God won't forget about you. Even though your circumstance may not be what you want it to be right now, even though you may not be in the place you want right now, even though it may not look good and you're going through it right now, God wants you to know that he still has that plan for your life. And that in his timing, he'll bring it to fruition. And so that's what it was for Joseph. All of a sudden, Pharaoh started having these dreams about the nation going through this. And he started seeing cattle that died and sickly cattle raised up and all this crazy stuff. I don't know about you, but there's some crazy dreams in the Bible. And he was just tormented by them. And all of a sudden, that prisoner remembered Joseph, and he told the Pharaoh about him. And Pharaoh automatically brought Joseph straight from prison to the palace. And God wants you to take your focus off of you and your problems this morning and put it on him so that he can bless you and so that he can have his purpose done in your life. Even Paul addresses this in Philippians chapter 3, 13 through 14. If you can put that on the screen, Stephen. It says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to take hold of it. See, when he's writing the church, one thing they're going through is that there's so many of them looking at themselves saying, yeah, I got this now, I've arrived. There's this false ideology rising up in the church that you know, you walk with God for so long, you know, then you're pretty much there. You might as well just say, Lord, take me to heaven now, I'm it. I got this, God. Paul's saying, no. Paul's saying, if anybody should boast about themselves, it should be me. I was the one who grew up educated. I'm the one who was raised in the synagogue. I was the one who did this, all the religious stuff. But he's saying to them, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me, heavenward in Jesus Christ. See, I love that because when we don't make it about ourselves, and it's not external things that bring us joy anymore, and it's internally, it becomes something else completely. See, so many people, they come up to me and they ask me, you know, what do you believe in? And, okay, so you're in ministry. All right, what about this? And I ask them, you know, what do you believe in? And they tell me, you know, I've never really been a religious person, and I don't believe in religion, you know. And I'm like, oh, cool, me neither. And they look at me like, what? What do you mean? You go to church and everything and you do this and you do that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not religious because it's not religion. It's a relationship. You see, when it's all based on religion, then it's all external. It's what do I have to do, God, to earn my way to you? What do I have to do, God, so that I can just even come into your presence? But when it's internal, and when it becomes relationship, it's not that. It's God saying, I want you. It's God saying, come to me just as you are. And it's me saying, all right, God, I want you too. I'll go to you. And so many times we look at ourselves and we say, God, I've done this and I've done that. I don't deserve you, Lord. And so instead of pressing into God, like Paul says, we pull away because we're too afraid of being not worthy of what God wants. I don't know about you, but I used to be there. I used to be that person who was too afraid to go before God. I thought I was never good enough. I thought, Lord, I'd done too much. And so, Lord, I'm going to keep using this crutch because I'm not worthy to have your presence, God. I'm not worthy to do this for you. I'm not even worthy to speak in my college chapel, Lord. So I'm just going to keep going to this person, to this thing as my crutch. And so many of us find ourselves like that this morning. But God says, come to me just as you are. I will give you rest. I'll give you peace for your soul. God's telling you, put away the crutch. Replace the toy for his joy. See, God's looking for you and he's saying, come out of that stuff. I got a plan for your life. Put those things away. And Paul, he says, you know, I used to be somebody who used to persecute Christians. I used to be the religious type. But I'm not anymore. It's because of my focus on Jesus. Amen. And so one, we need to have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Two, we need to put our focus on Jesus. And three, we need to remember it's the inward work of Jesus. Again, joy and rejoicing in the Lord is not external, it's internal. It doesn't come from what from the outside. It comes from something that God has placed in you and brings out of you. True joy is internal. See, Ephesians 1:11 says, Jesus works out everything in the conformity with purpose of his will. With the purpose of his will. And I like that it says that because it says works out. And the Greek word for works out, because I like to work out. I mean, I got you, Josh. is energeo. So God is the energy and energizing force behind it. Behind everything. No moment or event falls out of his supervision. And see, when we remember that, then we begin to have an inward peace that is not external, but it's internal. It comes from God. In Philippians 3:7-8, if you can put that on the screen, Stephen, it says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. See, true rejoicing doesn't come external, it comes from internal. Paul had everything lined up for him in life. He was the perfect religious person. He would have had power, he would have had glory, he would have had status over everybody. But when he started following Jesus, his life just, in our standards, went down. He would be thrown in jail, he would be shipwrecked, bitten by snakes. He'd go through so much stuff. But here he says in this verse, I consider all the things I could have had rubbish compared to having Christ. So my message this morning is pretty simple because we're going to have a time of prayer. But I want to ask you this morning, what do you rejoice in? So many of us rejoice in other things, in things besides God. So many of us would like to say, oh, I rejoice in nothing but God. And it's like, oh, maybe. What about when you get over 50 likes on your Instagram posts, right? What about when you get that promotion at work? There are good reasons to rejoice. But to have that rejoicing in the Lord is so much more than anything else you could rejoice in. Some of us could be like, oh yeah, I got to change my status on Facebook from single to taken, amen. From in relationship to engaged, woohoo! So many people just rely on that, their only reason to rejoice. But this morning, God is a God of joy. He gives joy that overflows. He gives a joy that is so much deeper, it's foundational. And God wants to give you that joy this morning. See, Daniel 5:21 says, the Most High rules the kingdom of men and set over it whom he will. Psalms 75 says he executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. In Jeremiah 30, it says the fierce anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intent of his mind. See, those verses say that God is in control of all things and that he is at work continuously in our lives, in the world around us, even though it may not look like it right now and our world is chaotic and the government's doing this and this party's doing that and our president may be doing this and our representatives for state, this and that. I can go on and on and on. And people ask me at work all the time. They ask me, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And I can just tell them what the Bible says. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. It does matter, but it really doesn't. How can you say that? Because I have a joy in my heart. It's because I have a joy that's placed by God in my heart. My family could be going through this, and my friends could be going through that. So-and-so could leave you, and you could be forsaken by all people, but you could have that joy in your life. What am I saying this morning is God is in control of all things. He works all things for the good of those who love and who have called to his purpose. And when I remember that God is in control of all things, and I look back on my life, and I'm like, God, were you even in control of that? And some of you may be wondering that this morning. How can you even say rejoice in the Lord always? Because I'm going through all this crazy stuff right now. And my family's going through all this stuff right now. But God wants you to know he's in control of all things. He's working all things out for the good of those who love him. And you can rejoice in that. And you can stand firm on that word. That God has his purpose in your life. See, I love the verse. He is faithful to complete the work that he began in you. As I think back to when I first started following Jesus And some of you may just be starting your relationship with God. And you're going to mess up. And you may do things that may not please you or please God. But he's faithful to complete the work that he started in you. And when you begin to have that same ideology as Paul and as Joseph, and you just get that in your spirit, God, no matter what, I'm yours and I trust you. I used to focus on this, God, but now I'm going to focus on you, Lord. I used to place my happiness on this, but I'm going to place my happiness on you, God. God, it's going to go deeper than that, Lord. I'm going to have joy in this moment. Even though I may not be happy, even though this may not be pleasurable right now, God, I'm going to focus on you. And when I begin to think about that, and I begin to just think about how God has been so good to me, and how God placed me in this church, and how God placed me in my family, and how God placed me in all the places that he brought me in college and in school and with the friends I have and everything. And I think, God, you brought me through all of that. God, I can trust you for the future. And I look back at where it used to hold me and at what used to bring me pleasure and what used to bind me and how I used to think and the people I used to talk to. And I begin to see a shift in my perspective, and I begin to see a change, and I feel a change in my heart. It's not me. It's what God has done in me. I begin to see I have a new perspective. I have a new outlook on life. I have a new joy that's in my life. I no longer shed tears because, God, I'm missing this and I'm missing that. Instead, I just shed tears because I'm like, God, I want your will to be done in these people's lives. God, I want your will to be accomplished in the world around me. And so many times the devil wants to come at us and he wants us to focus our joy on external things. So many things take our joy. So we put our faith in people and we put our faith in things. But this morning, God wants to give you your joy back. Whatever the devil has taken out of your life, whatever peace he's robbed you of this morning, God wants to replace it with his joy. And so when, I don't know about you, but when I pray and I think about all the things that God has done, and I think about what God is going to do in this church and what he's going to do in my life, what he's going to do in your lives, I get fired up about it. And I just claim that for myself. And all things God works out, the good of those who love him, the good and the bad, the ugly and the beautiful. God works it all out for the good of those who love him. And so that makes me get in my spirit. And I'm just like, Lord, I'm yours and I trust you. So I don't know how this is going to work out right now, God, but I'm not going to focus on what I used to do. I'm not even going to focus on how you used to work, God. I'm going to expect a new thing from you, God. Even in this new year, I preached about that last week with the young adults, and just to give a short testimony and a short message, but it was, don't rely on what God used to do. Let him do new things in your life. And so this morning, let God do new things in your life. Get that joy back in your spirit. Think about what God has brought you from. Get that joy back. And so, as I'm getting ready to close this morning, if the worship team can come up, if Pastor Dale can come up this morning, my message to you is just pretty simple. Have peace in the pain. Because it's even in the pain that God works miracles. It's in the pain that Paul was going through in prison. He was going to be executed pretty soon while writing this letter. But he still had peace in his heart about it. He said, in fact, he said, you know, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I live, then good. But if I die, then at least I get to go home to God, which I really want. And in your current circumstance, you can have that same joy as well. You can have the joy that Joseph had while he was in prison, just rejoicing in God in the circumstance that you have. You want peace of God? Then have peace with God first. So this morning, if you do not know God, then I invite you this morning to know God. Because believe me, it's a peace that's beyond all understanding. It's something that nobody can give. It's only something that God can give. Second, if you find yourself this morning not able to focus on the things of God, I invite you to come and pray and place your focus on God. Say, God, I need a new perspective. I need a change, Lord. I need to put my focus on you instead of the world around me, on my own desires and what I want. And three, if you want to abide in Christ and you really want the joy of the Lord to show in your life, maybe you need to be an example at work. And I invite you just to let God do that inward change that he wants to do in your life. So I'll close with this. There was a man, he was an elder in his church back in the 1800s. His name was Horatio Spafford. And many of you know this story. See, he was a very successful person financially. But in 1871, him and his wife went through a big loss in the Chicago fires that went on in their city. And if that weren't bad enough, in 1873, November 2nd, they were going to go to England, and his family went before him, and he was going to stay behind to handle some stuff. And as they were sailing in their ship, their ship collided with another ship. And all four of his daughters died that day. And I can only imagine how that felt, because I think to myself, out of all the things that God has brought me through, as I told you before, I'm an emotional person. And when I lose things, man, it just tears me apart, especially people. When I lose people, it just tears me apart. And I remember the times where I got my text message. It was always at work, whether it was my grandfather, my grandma, Pastor Jimenez, or whoever. I was always a text message at work. And I think back, and I was in those moments, before I knew God, how I handled it. I used to go out and medicate. So many of us were used to medicating. We're so used to going to the external things to make us feel pleasure, to make us feel joy. We're looking for joy in those moments. And then I began to think about when God helped me through, when I just invited him into my life. And I said, Lord, I'm yours, I trust you. And in those moments where I shouldn't have joy, and I get those text messages that says, so-and-so went to be with Jesus. And just like Job, it says, the Lord gives, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so many of us, we're going through good times right now, and it's great, it's awesome. Praise God for that. Rejoice in the Lord in that. But even in those hard times, say, blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives and he takes away. He gives you everything you have, and even if he takes it away, it's still his, and your life is still his. And so that man, Horatio Spafford, he goes to England and he's about to head over to his wife who's already there, heartbroken and distraught. He's going to a bad situation. He's heartbroken himself. The daughters who carried his image, you know, the daughters who had his nose and his wife's forehead, and everything, they're gone now. And he writes these lyrics that would become a song that many of us live our life to and many of us can stand on. And he says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let the blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my estate, and hath his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of his glorious thought, my sin, not in part but whole, is nailed to the cross, and I it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And the Lord haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend, even so. It is well with my soul. And then comes the part that we all love. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. I know this message may not be for everybody, but for somebody this morning, Lord said if I would preach it, somebody needs to hear it. Because he wants you to know it is well with your soul. When you have that focus of God on your life, And even when you're going through it, you can be like Paul and say, I count it all as loss compared to my joy in Christ. And this morning, let God shift your perspective. Let Him change your outlook on life. And let Him bring you to that place where you can be so full of that joy that you can't contain it, but you just had to cry out, hallelujah, praise God for what He's done in my life and for what He's going to do in the future, for what He brought me from and where He's going to take me. That not even what I go through, not even great loss that I go through, can keep me from the promises of what God has. You see, my title of the message was, you can have peace in the pain. See, if there's anything I want you to remember this morning, you don't have to remember the 3 points. You don't got to remember any of that. But just know that you can either choose to put on God's peace or you can choose to put on your pain. Some of you this morning may not like how your life started out. You may not like where you come from. You may not like the circumstances that you're under. For so many people, I see that. And they let that hold them back. And I just can't say anything else, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you didn't know your parents. I'm sorry that you didn't know your dad. That's part of my testimony. I'm sorry that this happened to you as a kid. I'm sorry that right now your family's going through this. I'm sorry right now that your parents aren't the parents that you want them to be. I'm sorry that life hasn't been that great to you. But I just want you to know that God loves you and He sees you right where you're at. And that this morning you can choose to wear that pain every single day. Or you can choose to put on that peace. So this morning, that's what I want you to remember. Put off the pain. Leave that in the past. And put on the peace of God. Amen. Amen.